Don't you know we've come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sonequa Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the History of Christianity podcast number 151, titled John Chrysostom, Part 4, A Voice from the Wilderness. When I became a believer in Jesus Christ so many years ago, my salvation experience was so dramatic, I even have referred to it as an Apostle Paul-like conversion, because I persecuted the church, if you will. I hated the church because my dad was a well-known pastor and my mother was a pastor as well. And I bore my father's name, and I hated it with a passion. And there are other reasons why I hated the church. It appeared to me that the men were effeminate and weak, and the women ran everything. So for me to get saved after coming out of a full life as a young person of religion and traditional church, for me to meet Jesus and to get saved, it was very dramatic, and it was a big deal for me to get born again. So I somehow had the crazy idea that Christianity began when I got saved. Those of you who got saved like me, and it was such a fresh and new thing, you understand. I had no concept of the hundreds of years of history that Christianity had gone through since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago. Even though I was raised in church by two preachers, in the Baptist tradition and in the Pentecostal holiness tradition, and I almost went to hell out of religion, and through religion, I got saved out of religion, and I got saved out of the traditional church. So the purpose of this podcast is to dispel this notion, for I have found that many believers who have had a similar born-again experience, young and old, have had the same false idea. And so the purpose of this podcast is to dispel this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry and time of Jesus Christ all the way up until the present day in an easy-to-understand way or format. Pardon me. I believe that the devil tries to blind people, even in the church, about the amazing history of Christianity. To keep them at war with each other instead of understanding one another. And one of the other tragedies about this is that the church, local churches, should be a place where baby Christians, young Christians, not only learn doctrine and the beliefs of the church, but learn about the history of the church. I truly believe that if Christians would learn their history, they will learn how to get along better with other so-called denominations. So, you don't have to worry. This is not a hard lecture, like some of the boring lectures you endured in college by some professors who love to hear themselves talk. This is simply a look at the basic facts and figures of Christian history done in a beautiful fashion that I believe every believer in Christ especially and every person needs to be aware of. Beloved, our scripture for today is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our history of Christianity quote today is from Ignatius. He said, the beginning is faith and the end is love. Now, these two, being inseparably connected together, are of God, while all other things which are needed for a holy life follow after them. No man making a profession of faith continues sinning, nor does he that possesses love hate anyone. The tree is made manifest by its fruit. And so those that profess themselves to be Christians shall be recognized by their conduct. For the work of profession is not needed now, but that one be found continuing in the power of faith to the end. Ladies and gentlemen, today in the history of Christianity, we are looking at John Chrysostom, Part 4, A Voice from the Wilderness, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1. The new bishop of Constantinople was not completely aware of all of this. From what we know of his character, it is probable that had he been aware, he would have acted just as he did. The former monk was still a monk and could not tolerate the manner in which the rich inhabitants of Constantinople sought to wed the gospel with their own luxuries and comforts. His first task was to reform the life of the clergy. Some priests who claimed to be celibate had in their homes what they called spiritual sisters. And this was an occasion of scandal for many. Other clergymen had become rich and lived with as much luxury as the potentates of the great city. The finances of the church were in a shambles, and the care of the flock was largely unattended. John took all of those issues head on. He ordered that the spiritual sisters move out of the priests' homes and that the latter lead an austere life. Church finances were placed under a system of detailed scrutiny. The luxury items that adorned the bishop's palace were sold in order to feed the hungry, and the clergy received orders to open the churches at such times as were convenient not only for the wealthy, but also for those who had to work. Obviously, all these measures gained him both the respect of many and the hatred of others. But such a reformation could not be limited to the clergy. It was necessary that the laity also be called to lead lives more in accordance with gospel mandates. Therefore, the golden mouth preacher thundered from the pulpit these words: "The gold bit on your horse, the gold circlet on the wrist of your slave, the gilding on your shoes mean that you are robbing the orphan and starving the widow. When you have passed away, each passerby who looks upon your great mansion will say, 'How many tears did it take to build that mansion? How many orphans were stripped? How many widows wronged? How many laborers deprived of their honest wages? Even death itself will not deliver you from your accusers.'" Next time, my beloved, we will begin looking at John Chrysostom, Part 5, Return to the Wilderness. Let's pray. Holy Father, God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of John Chrysostom. And Lord, help us to learn from him how to get our hearts right with you, to move away from the demonic prosperity gospel, stop robbing the orphans, stop hurting people while the preachers live in mansions. Lord, help us to repent today of repeating what the church did back then. For your glory, your praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name, we do pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you.
Cause my God is never,
he never fails.